good, y'all? You already know what it is. Another episode of King's Landing. You got your boy Jared. Go ahead, follow me on Twitter at __theKing__ on Twitter. And you can go ahead, follow my brother.
Brian King at KingHead57, Instagram, Twitter. That's about it.
And you already know, go ahead, follow the Barber's Chair Network on Twitter and IG at the Barber's Chair Net. Subscribe to the Barber's Chair Network Patreon at patreon.com/barberschairnetwork and visit the bcnet.com. Brother, we got another victory.
Yes, sir.
3-3. We came back from that West Coast trip in good position. And you know what we say? If you win one out of the next three, you're in a good spot. And they got the one with one to go.
Yes, sir. Building some good momentum. Looks like we're going to surprise some folks. We're going to continue to surprise some people, the people that haven't been following. But, you know, if you've been following, watching the story unfold, they right on par for the course for what our expectations were. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have too good of feelings coming into this game. I can't even lie. I was watching Nick Bosa growing like a hawk to keep it PG. But it's like, I was like, if he's out, that changes so much. You know, Arik Armstead being out changed a lot. But, I mean, Arthur Smith said it all week. They're going to have to run the ball. They're going to have to stay ahead of the Niners. D'Amico Ryans has that defense, you know, rocking. Best defense in the league. Like, yeah, you were out some of your better players, some of your best players on that defense. But it's still like you don't just go out there and just run the ball for 170 yards, 168 yards. Against that defense.
Right.
So it's one of those things where it's like you got the coach. The coach got the message. The players got the message. Everybody bought in. And they came off the bus like taking it to the Niners. And that don't – I mean, the Niners' whole offense was healthy. Yeah, like no Trent Williams. But Debo was still out there. Ayuk went off. Kittle was out there. So to hold them to 14 points, that's a full-on – that's a win.
True. And – I think also with Ayuk exploited the need for a second corner. That looks like one of those holes that we talked about with the cap. A lot of that money that could have been allocated to a better corner.
Yeah.
You know, could have been a fleet foot quarter that could have shut that down. So outside of that, they look solid. They put my boy Troy in second week in a row, getting some major tick. They put him in against Tampa. Whole defense looked different, looked totally different. Started that comeback. So I'm glad to see him on the field. The defense looks much more balanced with him on the field. And he had 13 tackles today to lead the team. So looking forward to seeing more of that in the future.
That's the thing. They've given up 14 points in six quarters once Troy Andersen took the field. Yep. Kind of speaks for itself. You lost Casey Hayward during the game, and then you lost A.J. Terrell during the game, and then you even lost Isaiah Oliver during the game. So you were down to Darren Hall, Mike Ford. Who else was out there? At that point, I don't know.
But yeah, it's like – no names.
Yeah, you down – you hurt on the back end. And it's like they held the Niners to 50 yards rushing.
Right.
Like, that does not happen against a Kyle Shanahan team. Like – Falcons threw the ball 14 times and ran it 40 times. The Niners threw it 40 times and ran it 15. It's like Arthur Smith played Kyle Shanahan's game to a T.
Yep.
They completely won it.
And it was, like I said, it was just good football. It was good defense. It was good coverage. People were playing their gaps. I didn't see nearly as many just bad defensive plays. They cleaned a lot of that up this week. That was good to see. Hopefully they can keep it consistent. And like I said, putting Troy in there in the middle, it balanced the defense as well. He constantly was taking away Garoppolo's first and second reads and forcing him to throw deep or throw dump off passes in the flats. And that's going to be what they need to keep doing. That's that defense that I was telling you where you got to make them dump it off in the flats or check down and make them want to continue to play football after getting hit all day. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah. No, you said that weeks ago, like come up and hit. And it's like they were hitting today. It was a physical game. It was a tough game. You know, obviously the Niners make their plays. They're going to make their plays. Obviously, you know, we talked about it's like Troy Anderson is going to get put in a blender. Kyle Shanahan knows how to exploit green defenders that don't know what's going on. And you saw it on a couple of those screens. Troy was just way overrun. But then you saw him settle down, and it's like that's the upside to Troy, where it's like he still played offense. He still played quarterback. Give him a couple reps, and you saw late in the game the screens weren't hitting like they were.
Right.
And it's like those are the adjustments that we've been asking for on the defense from certain players, where it's like it's not that hard. Read your keys and get to the football. And it's like, I think that's what Troy brings to the table, as well as being a fluid athlete in space. Like, he never looks uncomfortable in space.
Exactly. I just want to see him lay the thump in the open field a little bit more. But his wrap-up tackles were fine. He's making tackles. I'd just rather them be tackles that are 0 yards at contact. Yeah. I don't like seeing, you know, a linebacker make tackles.
That leaky yard.
Yeah, they're stretching 2-3 extra yards. It's like that's that hidden yardage factor that offensive players tend to reach for. And once you're aware of that and what's actually going on, and it's like, okay, let me attack your body at a specific angle. Like I said, he played a good game. I didn't see my boy 54. Lost for names right now.
Evans, Rashawn, Rockhead.
Yeah, Rashawn Evans. Didn't see him make too many bad plays, but, you know, he got that boneheaded penalty at the end of the first half that didn't come back to bite us, thankfully. But
so what happened? I didn't see that on the broadcast.
They were just turned up on the sideline. He a fool. So, you know, linebacker, we're going to turn up. We're going to the half anyway, whatever. We off the field. He probably said something, you know, he a dog.
They called the penalty, but even the announcers didn't. They just said, "Oh, flag going into halftime." That's on the kickoff. It's like, all right, well,
too turned up, too much pass Detroit playing. We were lit in the bins, and they
hats off to the Falcons fans. Y'all was lit. That's back-to-back games of being lit. First off, y'all are lit against the Browns, which I never thought I'd ever see that happen. That was the first Falcons-Browns game I went to. I was asleep. So to see the Bens rocking like that and then to turn around and follow it up, I knew the fans were going to be pissed after, you know, the Grady Jarrett call versus the Bucks. I was like, I already know the fans are going to be pissed, but please, team, just, like, match their energy. Like, please just keep repaying the fans for showing up and being lit, and they are going to have the Bens rocking.
Oh, yeah. No roof.
So, y'all did y'all's part. Even after the game, you saw Coach. They was down there in the field level suite cracking beers with the O-line.
That's right. That's how you're supposed to do. Big, like, fellas working. They've been working all season. They deserve it.
Yeah. You paying your –
And the 49ers grateful was in there heavy, too.
Oh, yeah. They were deep.
They were loud. Once they started scoring, they scored those back-to-back touchdowns with IU. I was like, oh, no, this is not the kind of game I want to be at.
Yeah, it was loud. Like, you could hear it on the broadcast. It was nonstop loud. I was like, okay, mm-hmm. It's rocking.
Yeah, we had to match that energy. Fortunately, they matched it on the field, so it made it easier for us in the stands.
That's all we've been asking for, man. Just if we're going to give it, just give it back. And we said this from jump, I think Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot understand that, like, on a base level. It's like, I can't be the asshole coach that I want to be if we ain't winning. And if we ain't playing how I want to play. And it's like you said, when you sit there and see your team run 40 times for 168 yards against one of the best defenses in the league, like, it just brings such an attitude to the team and the fan base where it's like, bro, you can't do anything about it.
They need to have an award to go out to the best offensive line, best road grading offensive line, line unit of the week or something like that.
They deserve offensive it, man. Lines
don't get, yeah, they don't, get, you know. Yeah, something. Like, they don't get nearly the recognition that they deserve for the work that they put in. But this team, this offensive line, based on the perception of what it was last year, like, we're returning majority of those pieces. We're more healthy. That's the difference. But I think having that mobility at quarterback helps a lot to keep a pocket clean because Mariota dodged some bullets today and got up out of there. I was glad to see his awareness kicked up a little bit more at home. He looked a lot more comfortable in front of the Falcon faithful. But going back to my point, the offensive line deserves kudos, major kudos, just for sticking with it, especially like people like Caleb McGarry, who's had an up-and-down career to this point, but knowing that he's a first-round pick, and Big Lindstrom, we already knew he had it. He just needed to, you know, continue building on the tools that he had in his pocket. So we got exciting times coming up.
Yeah. Now you got to give McGarry credit. I think that's the benefit of having an O-lineman for a head coach. Like, O-lineman ain't sexy. Arthur Smith is not about the shine and all that and the attention. It's like, I just want to win. And it's like, I think that's the O-line. And I think they've taken to him. Like, yeah, year one, it hadn't really settled in. But, you know, it's similar to like when we had Kyle, where year two, it's like, okay, I get it. And I'm rocking with this. It's like, they can feel that energy. Like, when your head coach is like, look, we're just going to run the ball. We're going to run right. We're going to run left. We're going to run inside. We're going to run outside. And you do it. And the more you do it, the more he calls it. And the more he calls it, the more you do it. It's just like a feedback loop that they got going on right now, where it's like, they don't care about nobody that's on that field.
Right. And I love how the running backs are running. They're reading these holes.
Hard.
They're reading the right holes. They're bouncing it when they need to bounce it. They're cutting it up when they need to cut it up. And even Caleb Huntley, like, you know, I said I liked him before, but knowing that there's no hole, but you still pumping your legs and making a hole.
Hard yards. Like,
yeah, hard yards, but you getting it, you still moving forward. Like, that's the difference between what I see this year versus what we had with Mike Davis, where two steps in a cloud of dust, he on the ground and
dead on
offensive linemen are still blocking, but he's down and plays dead.
Yep, it was bad. Like, yeah, they got young legs and they creative. Like, even that one run where it was what, Algier almost a loss for three, loss for four, and he turned into a gain of one. And it's like, that's helping Mariota. Like, that's keeping offense on track. I'll take a second and nine, second and eight that you turned into it every day of the week.
Right.
Because with those, Mike Davis was trying to outrun people to the sideline. Now it's a second and 13.
Right.
So, and you're doing all this without Cordero.
That's exactly what I was about to say. We don't even have the beast in there. So when he comes back, it's really going to be fun.
Yeah.
Because we can spread him out like we planned, like we heard that they planned to do in the beginning.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to start using Cordero in the slot. I mean, shoot, we can throw him at Z. I just want to see them open it up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Get out of this 20 personnel, get a little bit more 10 personnel. And I think that's going to happen when Ritter comes in. I don't think Mariota's arm is built for that spread read option yet.
Yeah, no, I don't want Mariota sniffing over 20 passing attempts that often.
He doesn't need to. He doesn't need to. And I was sitting in the stands watching the replay of him diving, you know, face first into the dirt. And I was like, yeah, I don't want my quarterback doing that. But I mean, it's Mariota. So do what you do. Do what works.
Yep.
Get that money.
Yep. Not, I get it. I mean, it's like a catch 22. The running game is rolling so well that it's like, when you have passing attempts with Mariota, it's that volatility. Like, this was the absolute best that we will ever see from Mariota. Mm-hmm. And it was still only 14 passes. And it's like, you know, the good thing is the run is working, the defense being opportunistic, keeping games close where you're not in a shootout and having to drop back with Mariota too often. I think you'll see that against the Chargers probably, where it's like, oh, okay, well, that got ugly fast. Hell, you might see it next week against the Bengals if AJ can't play. They said he was feeling fine, but, you know, I don't want to see Mariota not even trying to beat Cooper Rush. Like, 14, 15 passes may not be sexy, but if they're winning, he's going to roll with it. And, you know, I appreciate Arthur Smith because when you can build an offense at the base level, can run the ball on anybody, it don't matter who you put in at quarterback at that point. And it takes so much pressure off of Ritter that, like you said, once you add – think about you put in Ritter and you start running those passing concepts that Tennessee just trotted out against Bama.
Right.
Tacked on top of this running game. Like, you starting to build something that's nasty all around, play any type of game.
And that's the culture he's creating. You can tell. I love it. That's that Dirty Bird style. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
We look like the strongest team in the South right now, brother. I know we tied for first place, but
man, it goes back to week one.
We could literally be 6-0.
There's a path to 6-0, and it's like it's not far fetched. Like
we haven't scored. What's the least amount of points we scored in a game?
15 versus Tampa when we got robbed, and people were like, "Y'all sure Mariota was gonna go down and score a touchdown?" I was like, "He just did it twice on the last two drives. What do you mean?
Back to back, strong, and didn't even blink.
Like, yeah,
and the defense was playing strong.
Yeah, the momentum has swung, but yeah, I mean, I think the Falcons are surprising people, and it's balance, like it's team balance. Like the entire team may not be the most talented, but it's all extremely cohesive. Because it's like, okay, cool. I got a running game that's going to have a ticking clock. And any mistake that you make against my defense is just going to take another drive. And I got another 5 to 7 minutes coming off this clock. And it just puts so much pressure on teams. Like, it works. Just like that 2016 team worked, where it's like, those boys weren't good, but Debo made a timely pick, or, you know, Ricardo made a play or something like that. And so it's like, I think that's why it's so fun to watch and why it makes so much sense. Like, it's going to be a dogfight versus everybody. And we said it going into the season, and like seeing it play out, it's like, finally. So before we go Bengals, we 6 games in, little 3-3 action. What's your overall unit grades? And shout out to special teams. Shout out. What's your overall grade? Offense, defense, special team. We're gonna do like a little quarter of the season mark.
So you want today or quarter of the season mark?
Today. Well, I guess it'd be a third of the season, 6 to 18. Yeah. So this is the third. We're gonna cut the seasons into third. 6 games, 6 games, 5 games.
Offense today?
No, for the 6 games.
For the 6. For what they've been able to accomplish, given the pieces that they have to work with, I give them an 87.
Okay. Okay.
Solid 87. Defense, 79.
Okay.
Yeah. Special teams, 90.
I was going to say, I would give them a 90. We got the second best punt return unit in the league right now.
mm-hmm. Hitting points, hitting yards.
Yeah. Brad Pinion put those boys on the 1 yard line. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay.
I saw that punt go up and I said, oh, that's a great kick. Man, it landed. The lady in front of me looked back at me like, oh, you know something. Yeah, yes, ma'am. I know what I'm looking at.
I've seen a punt look like that. That was dying at the one.
Dying.
No, I agree with it. I'll probably bring the offense down to about maybe like an 82. Like, I think it's the run game is what props them up. The passing game leaves a lot to be desired. I'm still not sold on Drew Dahlman. But you know, you also are limited at quarterback, and so you're not getting the production from Kyle Pitts and Drake London that you want. But like you said, for what they've been able to accomplish, when you get off the bus, you saw they ran the ball 14 straight times against the Browns. You know you're going to have to stop the run against the Falcons, and the Bucs couldn't do it. And then
could not do it.
Couldn't do it. And then the Niners saw the last 2 weeks, knew going in, these boys are going to try and put up 150 yards on the ground, and they couldn't stop it. And so when you got a unit, when you have an unstoppable unit that you can lean on, it's going to be hard to beat the Falcons. Like, they're going to be in every game. So I give them that credit. And then the defense matches. They may not be the best. Game was on the line 28-14 today, and they let the Niners drive and take, 6 minutes off the clock and gave up 0 points?
Zero.
That was a flawless drive. I was like, that's exactly what you want. Just let the clock tick. I don't care about the yards, but you're going to get inside the red zone and you're going to run out of space, and that's the game. So I give them that.
So what do you give the defense on the quarter or the third?
I like your 79. Like, it's like one of those units where it's like, you might have a good game, might pop in, like, ah, you know.
You might get smoked.
But yeah, they're not gonna get blown out, but they're not the Cowboys, they're not the Eagles. And yeah, I agree with you on the special teams, man. Hitting yards. The Avery Williams is Pro Bowl punt returner right now. Like, he's doing that good at it. Coverage unit is good. You know, they had the bust this week, but shout out to Troy Anderson hawking them down.
Get out the door.
Ain't too many middle linebackers in the league running down a punt returner in open field.
He looked like a nightmare.
He was hauling ass. So,
and I think also, you know, having that peace of mind with Koo, knowing Koo gonna hit it, like that's one rare aspect of this Falcons team over the past like several years, like having Money Matt in there,
having Matt going back
to Money Matt, having like even Feely when he was strong. Like Feely would hit it, but Matt was like, okay, we know what we got with Matt. And once he decided to hang it up, it was like, all right, what do we do next? Koo has filled that spot to perfection and has the nerve to be balling in number seven. Like, you would have never guessed that the whole stadium would love him with that jersey on. As soon as he step out there, it's like, we saying Koo because we know we good. Like, the only time... Like, has he missed one? Like just generally just missed one.
I haven't seen him
shank one.
Yeah, he missed. Or did he miss versus the Browns?
I think he got missed, blocked.
He missed versus the Bucks. I don't remember. He's missed one, but yeah, he'll be missing at home. It's like, all right, right. Take the three.
So yeah. I think that's the thing. That's the thing that sets us apart and keeps us in it and keeps us fighting. And I was going to say something earlier when we were discussing Mariota versus Matt. Mariota is more prone to run on those second and nines, second and eights, to get us to third and four.
Yeah.
Where Matt would throw an incompletion, and now we're third and long.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, what do we do here? All right, well, after two downs, we already know what's about to happen with this drive, and now this tired defense is about to get back on the field and get manhandled.
Yep.
And just put – in the mud.
It's that compliment. So that complimentary football where right. It's like Arthur Smith is giving his defense rest every single time he gets the ball.
Right.
And Matt, you go out there 30, 60 seconds later, it's like, shit, I just sat down.
Oh, you has a magnificent comeback. Yeah, we've been 3rd and 9 all afternoon. Man, he has to come back.
That's his style.
Now we're just fighting. We're just battling.
Yeah.
And this is a perfect scheme for it. I was telling people coming into the season, this is about ball control and possession receiving and clock management.
Yeah.
And if we're able to maintain our leverage in the down and distance game, we're good. All the way down the field, as long as we get to the 35, those are points.
Yep. It's almost like clockwork. As long as they stay positive, if their players are positive, they are walking down the field most. That's why I keep propping up Arthur Smith. I'm like, y'all, like, it may not be sexy right now, but he's found two running backs unheralded. Huntley's undrafted. Algier came in the 5th round, and they both gave you 15 carries and 50 yards. Like, it was just
solid work.
I know exactly what I'm getting. I know what it's going to look like. Easy, keep it positive. And I think, and it's like that helps the defense because it's like, all right, cool, I got a breather. And it also puts the pressure on the other team because it was one of the comments, you know, I think we made this before on here, but one of the comments Mark Schlereth made during the game, he was like, you know, we was 28-14, we had the ball, we were trying to run it and get it to 35-14. But he was like, you know, as the Niner, at this point, you're looking, you probably only got four. You probably only get the ball 4 more times. And it's because that clock is running. And when that clock starts running, you look and you're like, all right, I got to score twice. And I'm probably only going to get the ball 4 more times. I kind of got to get more aggressive. And if you ain't been playing aggressive all game, you can't just ramp it up. And so it's like games within the games that Arthur Smith gets. And it's like he's built a team. He's trying to build a team around it to capitalize on it.
And I think just thinking about offensive linemen as coaches, like they understand the small details of football.
Yep.
And I'm thankful that we have an offensive lineman as our head coach because he knows those little small, you know, those intricacies that need to be addressed.
Yep.
And that can wear a team down. Regardless of what people feel like, it all starts with the offensive line.
Yep.
Either side of the ball. So, you know, understanding what wears down the defense, understanding how offensive linemen feel in certain situations, how a quarterback might feel behind a shaky offensive line, you know, that creates the ability to get them out in space and through those delayed tight end screens. And I think we'll see a little bit more of that. I think they're going to open up the offense now with Kyle Pitts scoring a touchdown, finally. I think they're going to be motivated to get him the ball a little bit more going forward and to keep these defenses off balance. Knowing that we got the Bengals coming up, what would you say their strength is on defense?
The Bengals?
Yes.
Everything, man. This is going to be a tough defense. But again, it has not mattered. The Browns, good defense. The Bucks, good defense. The Niners, good defense. The Falcons are going to post 150 yards on the ground against the Bengals. Like, Trey Hendrickson is good. As good as advertised. You know, he's going to beat up on McGarry a couple times. You got Logan Wilson, who is Troy Anderson 1.0. I mean, bruh's just good. Like, I liked him coming out of Wyoming. He's 6'2", 250, hitting. He's got, you know, he can cover. You got Jermaine Pratt out of Mizzou, and, you know, he's got size and speed. And so, not Mizzou, NC State, I'm sorry. And so it's like they're solid on every level. Then you got that good secondary. I think Jesse Bates is top three free safety in the league. And you saw versus the Browns, Mariota didn't trust what he saw. You saw versus the Bucks, he didn't trust what he saw. And so he didn't have to work too hard versus the Niners, especially because the ground game was just dominating. So I think that's what you hope can happen versus Cincy. And as long as that continues, I think they'll roll on them.
Sounds good to me, brother.
But again, I still have not gotten my 30 points, my 30 burger.
At this point, it's a shortage on 30 burgers. not a lot of teams are putting up these burgers anymore. I haven't seen many 30 burgers being posted this year. Man. So I'll take these 2.8 out of, you know, 28 out of 30s, you know, in a dub.
It's like we get like, right close to it.
Yeah, we short on fries, so just, yeah, you take this shake.
Yeah. Man, I was like, we had the ball. I was like, if they score, I told my bartender, I said, if they score 30 points, I'm buying a shot. And it was like 3 minutes left in the third quarter. She said, oh, okay, I'll order you a shot now. I said, go ahead and wait on that. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, man, that's all I'm waiting on. Like, we were pacing for it. 14-0 in the first quarter. But – you know, so I get, yeah, okay. Falcons offense versus Cincy's defense. I think the running game shows up. I don't think their defense is any better than anybody we faced. Like, the Saints defense, I don't know what's going on with them. Maybe they're just in a funk or something like that. But I would put the Saints defense up there, and we did that week one. I don't think their defense is that much better than anything we've seen at this point. And so, and you see, Arthur Smith has been fine. He has no problem scheming. I'm not going to say the E word on this episode, but the man has no problem scheming. It's execution. And we got a game where Mariota didn't make any mistakes. We didn't have a fumble. We didn't have a near interception. Like, it was a flaw. It was the best game you could ask for. And I don't know if we get that on the road with Mariota. It's not something I trust Mariota to do multiple games in a row, but at the rate that the running game has traveled, and I don't know if Cincy's offense is going to be good enough to get out and make it a 14-point lead, 17-point lead, and stress the offense into making Mario to throw. If that happens, then that Bengals defense is going to abuse the offense, in my opinion.
How much longer is Cordell on IR?
He's got 4 games, so 2 more.
Will Damian Williams make an impact?
I thought about him last week. It's like, you signed him. He was your starter. And now you literally got him for what? 1 carry, 2 carries versus the Saints? So I don't know, because Algier and Huntley are hot. I'm definitely not sitting Huntley. I mean, they're like a mini Chubb and Hunt themselves. So I don't know if you sit them, because they clearly got rhythm and they're rolling with this O-line. And then Cordero brings something entirely different than nobody on the roster brings. And so, of course, you're going to give him carries before you put the ball in Damian Williams' hands. I don't know. What do you think?
Why are you here, sir? Make room. We got this trade deadline. I want to trade for somebody.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's trading for Damian Williams.
No, that's what I'm saying. Get rid of him, make room. And
yeah.
What kind of contract? Let me see what kind of contract he had.
I think it was just a 1 year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, call that a sunk cost.
One-year Batman type deal.
What are your thoughts on Debo going to Cleveland?
Sayonara.
It's a new day, baby.
I'm just glad. It was like people were like, oh, I mean, it wasn't that he was a scheme. He wasn't a scheme fit and blah, 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 blah. It's like, look, Nate Landman, number 55, has played better linebacker as an undrafted free agent in 6 games than Debo played all last year in this game. So I'm fine with Debo being gone. I was a Debo fan. I like Debo. I appreciate what Debo did for the team. But once the identity of the team changed and the identity of the defense changed to be more physical, and you saw him getting moved out of holes and trying to avoid blocks, it was like, that's not going to last long. And he didn't want to play that style of football. And it's like, I get it. Like, you got your check. If your shoulder being hurt was a real thing, I wouldn't be wanting to bang my shoulder up in there like that neither. Y'all can just go ahead and trade me. So that's fine.
Yeah, same here. I like Debo, but his time was up. He ran his course with the Falcons. And the writing was on the wall when they drafted Troy. So, you know, I think they made up their minds in the draft in the direction that they wanted to go. And then he's a holdover. So,
yeah,
you know, not ideal for him. You know, when, you know, feelings play a role when you got the green dot for so many years and they snatched and give it to Michael Walker and you're left watching. So, man, what's going on with him? He got a groin injury?
Yeah. He was spending some time on Twitter fussing at fans thinking that they know what they're talking about when we don't know coverages and the play call. And then we get to this week and Troy Andersen is all over field making plays that Michael Walker has not made. But, okay.
We've been waiting for him to make.
Waiting, just asking. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it was the first or second snap. You seeing Troy shooting his gap on the run. It's like – Troy knows what he sees. When Troy knows what he sees and he sees it, playmaker.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of more snaps. Like you saw, like I said earlier on the screen. When he don't know what he's looking at, geez, he's going to chase it. And he's going to be way out of the play. But then his athleticism, he'll still find a way. It's like Michael Walker can't turn and run if he makes a misstep. Mm-hmm. He can't make up for a slow read on a run, a wide zone. Like Troy, yeah, it was the first two plays. Troy shot the gap, and then Grady made the stop. And then the second play, I think it was like wide zone right. So defense flowing left, Grady coming, and Troy on his back. And I'm like, and then the next play was a deflection, 3 and out. We got the ball back. And it's like.
Yeah, it's a football.
Yeah. It's like, I don't, even if you blow on your assignment, go blow something up. Make an impact on the play.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think, like you said, his athleticism covers for his rookie mistakes. I just want him to get in that film room a little bit more and to understand these offensive coordinators and their schemes that they run. I think once he understands that and just becomes like a film rat, Ray Lewis type, where it's like, Kyle, I know what you're going to draw up, but I don't know what you're going to draw up, but I'm going to go back and just see, watch film. Like he'll now have a whole offseason to just watch film.
Yep.
And continue to be a freak. Yep. And it's different when you play linebacker and you know you're going to play versus I might be fighting for my job, for my position, for just a spot to just get in for a few plays and make some plays. Yep. No, this boy is going to be on the field.
Yep.
We got too much draft capital in him as a linebacker for him not to be on the field. He's going to be on the field. So he needs to be diagnosing these offensive coordinators and their schemes. Week to week, he needs to familiarize himself with who, of course, who's in the division. He's going to face them twice, but those teams where it's going to be like a dogfight, and we need that one play, that backside forced fumble, you know, a guard coming and you coming out the back, you know, coming out through the back door when you're really not supposed to, but you've watched enough film to make the play and make the forced fumble, you know, something like that. And just not making these, you know, not making just regular tackles and, you know, making impact plays.
Yeah, I think it's coming. Like, you see it. He doesn't often make the same mistake twice, which I got to give him credit for. Like, I'm fine with it. And when he's going full speed. So I think that's one of the things the defense is missing is that player that just knows who's been watching, who's going to be in the film room and who's going to force him into the film room. Like, it's not going to be Grady at D-tackle, like, no offense, but it's like,
Right.
Grady can't see. I can't see the formation. I see the gap I'm in. I'm reading the offensive lineman. Like, you need that LB mm-hmm. or that safety who's directing, where it's like, nope, I seen this on film. They about to run this. Let's get into this. Like, the touchdown on Rashawn Evans. I mean, not on Rashawn Evans, on to Ayuk. I think it was the second one. Yeah, it was the second one where they tied it up. They had motioned the back out. Rashawn Evans is a man. And I'm like, man, check two. I'm just yelling, check two. Go to cover two, because all they're going to do is create all this space over there. They sent the running back on a vertical. Ayuk on the out. It was wide open. He tried to end. I'm like, that's just one of those things where you need somebody out there, like, seeing what is going on. I know what the play is, but sometimes they're going to shift into something that the play call ain't going to be able to cover it.
Right.
And we can accept that, but, like, we got to adjust to it. Like, Matt Milano has that Bills defense humming. He got Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde back there behind him. It's three brains on the field. And right now we just don't have one. So
yeah, I think once we find – I think we just need a will that can get out there and just – you remember when Spoon came in
mm-hmm.
and was just making random plays, but he was making plays yep. all over the field. That's what we need. Somebody yep. – or like you said, a safety. Like, we got two strong safeties that – they haven't given up many bombs. I've seen a couple, but not
no, hey, to the point no, where
like, get them out of here.
We've given up 140-yard passing play, brother.
What was that, Peoples Jones?
Mm-hmm. That was the only one in 2 years since the right. beginning of 2020. They've been fine. They just, like you said, more impact. Like, Hawkins mm-hmm. making that pick, I need more of that.
Right.
I'm with
give
you.
Me somebody with some time on their side. Don't give me no old head.
Yeah. I love how they're like – pairing it all together, where it's like last year it was Eric Harris and Daron Harmon, and now they're gone. This year it's Casey Hayward, and you see Darren Hall came in the game balling. Like,
Ford brought some good energy too.
Yeah, like, I give them credit. It's like they threw the bomb on Darren Alford, and you know, anytime you see a deep ball against the Falcons, everybody's holding their breath. I say, oh crap.
Mm-hmm.
And to see the breakup, and I'm looking for a flag, I'm like,
finally breakup.
I've never seen a deep ball break up that clean. Like,
mm-hmm.
and then the very next play, tried him again, and he made the play on the ball, got the tip, Hawkins with the pick. And it's like, when have the Falcons lost their top three corners and you still been confident?
Right.
Like, and they were confident. Like, normally, you know, they get out there and they be shaky. It's like, hell, I'm just as nervous as you, bro. Like, but they're
that's credit to DMPs. I think yeah. DMPs understands how to develop his DBs as well.
Yep.
Like you said, coming from New England, coming from Baltimore, those DBs, those corners, they're playing football, next man yep. up mentality, and they were stepping in to those spots and playing just like what we're seeing now with the Falcons. DMPs told y'all in the beginning of the season and told y'all with a dead gum.
Yeah. No, I loved it, man. Like, they came in, made plays. Even on the stop on third down before the fourth down stop, it was Mike Ford and D. Alford coming up in run support.
Right.
With a tackle for loss. Like, I like the defense, man. Bunch of junkyard dogs. They didn't give us no credit because it wasn't a lot of names out there, but that's a cohesive unit that they're rolling. But I don't know what you think they're going to do against this Bengals offense. You got Burrow, Chase, T. Higgins, Mixon. Like, that's a fully loaded group.
I'm pessimistic. Let me just keep it 100. It's not looking pretty. I don't know how we stop them, but like you just said, we got ballers, not names. So it's time for them to step up, especially if we don't have AJ. That's the main reason why I'm pessimistic. Who's going to stop Ja'Marr Chase? And you know, Joey B going to get ignorant with the ball. And he might throw for 200 just because.
Just to remind him of the national championship game. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's your daddy.
Right. And fire up a cigar on us. So I don't know. This is one that feels like we're outmatched and feels like one of those where we super celebrated this win, but it brings us back down to earth. And I'm just looking across the board from the defensive perspective. Joe Burrow doesn't throw that many picks. He doesn't make that many mistakes. So those impact plays are going to have to be made. And I'm curious to see, though. Because I think, like you said, well, with these no names, like, we got ballers that will, like, step up. Like, I'll put Alford on him. Go play ball. And I think he'll be up for the challenge just to just prove it, you know, prove that he can play in this league and not just play.
Yep.
But then Hayward, got messed up today too. Oliver, you said he was out.
Did he get hurt? I think he came back though. It's like he banged his like elbow forearm, something like that.
I don't want Oliver on Chase.
Not at all. Boy, you want to talk about that's a Julio Jones 300 piece special.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. So I'm thinking like this would have to be like they're gonna have to play a tight zone with a man like a shadow on Chase. But then we got Mixon we got to deal with. That's the other part.
Yep.
So
yep.
It's that 7-on-7 aspect where it comes down to the offensive and defensive line. It's like who's gonna set it off.
Yeah.
And I still haven't seen enough from Lorenzo Carter.
Yeah, no, that's been a tough. He's fine. Like he's like one of those ones where I think I said last episode where it's like he's fine. Let him. He's like a Robin, and he's like he probably more like a low end Robin, and Ebikade is probably like a high end Robin. And you go get Batman next year. You mess around, go get Bradley Chubb. Lorenzo Carter looks a lot better across from Bradley Chubb than he does across from a rookie or Ogundeji. So, but. Yeah, like he wasn't getting too much push at all today. I mean, Ebikade, I think he had three hits. He had a couple close calls, but Carter wasn't getting there. So
I have been seeing big Taquan Graham. He's been balling. I've been watching him. I like what I see with big fella.
Yeah, and that's another one where it's like Grady Batman. He got his Robin, but he needs a third. Like Marlon Davidson. If he could ever turn into something, would be such a boom for this defense. Like
did he come back?
No, they haven't activated him yet. But it's like he's one of those ones where it's like you throw him in there, and even if he's as good as Lorenzo Carter, that's at least another league average defender replacing, you know, a bottom tier defender that we had in there last year. So
there's so much draft capital tied up with this dude.
I mean, hey, that's not Terry's problem.
Right, but I'm saying, like, the way the team is built, like, they invested all this, like I said, this draft capital in him, and for him not to be on the field or not even ready to play, like, Marlon Davidson would be a great, like you said, he'd be a great addition to the rotation, and he'd keep fresh legs out there and constant pressure. Just he's coming from a small school. He's coming from Auburn, so you know he can play.
Yep. I don't know what's happening, but. But I don't know. I just want to see the kind of fight they got on defense. I think they've shown it every week so far. Six games in, they haven't been blown out. They keep giving this team a chance to win games. Just the biggest victory of Arthur Smith's career in Atlanta, like 14 points. And we're, 23 games into his coaching career. Like, but no team has beat us by 14 points this season. Like, the fact that we won one by 14, I'm taking all the credit for it. I don't care who was on the field for the Niners. So, but I think the Bengals, I think AJ Terrell will be fine. Like, it didn't look like a bad pull. It looked like a tweak more than like a pull. So, I think he'll be fine. But, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is still Ja'Marr Chase. He's going to give him the blues. Like, I don't know what kind of zone you run because I'm not putting him in man because you mess around and play man. And Casey Hayward versus T. Higgins is not going to be pretty. Casey Hayward doesn't match up in man versus any of them. And I don't know if I want to put Oliver in man.
Six.
Man, so it's like.
Six and nines.
Yep. That's all.
Rolling threes.
Yep.
And leave Oliver in the slot and put whoever on T. Higgins. I'm concerned about T. Higgins as well.
I think they both have 100-yard days against them.
Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, it just the matchup isn't well. But again, the Bengals' O-line is not that good. So maybe our D-line does well against the run and gets them into enough third and longs, and DNP's just kind of dusts off his pressure packages and gets after him. But also, the Saints ran up 228 yards against the Bengals' defense today. And so if the Saints running for that many yards, I think the Falcons' offense, again, runs for – somewhere around that to protect the defense. You protect the defense. I don't know. So they're not going to get turned over.
I got 100 with you, brother. I was not impressed with that pressure scheme that he was drawing up at towards the end of the game.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling it either. But I'm glad he
did. Got to get it somehow. They got to learn how to blitz.
Yep, they got to learn. Like I got to run these because once we go up against the better teams, this can't be the first time we ran it.
Right.
So I was fine with it. And it was forcing the ball out and kept the clock running. So I was like, okay, this is literally the perfect environment for you to get real games now, especially with your backup corner. So I'm with you. I hope it was just long-term practice. So,
all right, give me a score prediction. Let's get up out of here.
Man, 28-21 Bengals. Oh, I hate myself.
Even with all those yards, we're going to put up, it's going to be weird points. 19 points on our end. I got the Bengals winning by 6.
25.
We don't give up scores that much. Mm-mm. We give up yards, but I think we're going to be trying to kick field goals to stay in it. Yeah. We're going to get to 13 and it's just going to be, or 10, and it's just going to be field goal after field goal. I don't see us scoring a lot of touchdowns. Like I said, they got to open that offense up. So I don't think, once they do that, then we can up the score on the better teams. But I don't see us scoring more than 20 points.
Oh, man. I mean, we did it last week, so I can't even say that's impossible. We only scored 21 on offense this week, so I feel it. Like, road game, tough opponent. Hey, I want to see what I really want to see is their nuts versus the AFC team. We sucked against the AFC under Dan Quinn because I think they just play a different brand of football. You playing outside in the elements. That's some true grit type shit that they're playing, and you going to the AFC North. So I want to see how they match up with them. Like, I just want to see them tighten up their jock strap. It might be a little chilly in Cincy next week, maybe like a little 50s. It might be raining. I don't know. Like, so I want to see what kind of impact that has on their game and how they respond to it, because we're getting to that part of the season where, you know, weather might start being a factor. Maybe not, but they don't play outside too often. So I want to see them in that and see how they respond to it. So give me so Joe Burrow interception, 0.5 over under.
Over. He's going to throw one. It's going to be a tip.
Ooh, Richie, I'm calling it. I like it. I don't know, man. I'm always optimistic, but yeah, like this one feels like where it's like, I don't like my CB1 having a hamstring injury, about to go and travel to see Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and Hayden Hurst and Joe Mixon. Like,
weather's not looking like it's going to be a problem.
Well, yeah, that helped.
Over under Mariota fumbles.
One over. We getting a fumble next week.
Reverting back to the mean.
We gonna get one, man. Mariota got that monkey off his chest in front of the home crowd, so y'all can't talk shit about it for 6 days. But he gonna drop the ball's gonna hit the turf in Cincy, and the calls for Desmond Ridder are gonna come in his former college town towards the end of the game.
You know it. You see it.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be from Cincy fans. Ridder. Could you imagine? I don't think Bengals fans are that petty, but that would be hilarious. So, all right, bro. I mean, we both projecting L's. We don't break over 500 this week, but I like what I saw. Let's see what happens, man, on to Cincinnati.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on King's Landing. We're out.